Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session.
Okay, we've received several questions, and I'll begin with the ones that we've received so far. The first question is, can you provide examples of community development loans, investments, and services? We currently have an existing question. We currently have existing Q's and A's that provide examples of community development loans, investments, and services in the 2001 Q&A guidance. For example, Q&A-12I and 563E.12H provide the following examples of community development loans. Examples of community development loans include, but are not limited to, loans to borrowers for affordable housing rehabilitation and construction, including construction and permanent financing of multifamily rental properties serving low and moderate income persons, loans to financial intermediaries, including community development financial institutions, or CDFIs. We're proposing to add new markets tax credit eligible community development entities, and right now we currently have community development corporations and minority and women-owned financial institutions, community loan funds approved, and low-income or community development credit unions that primarily lend or facilitate lending to promote community development. In addition, we have loans to borrowers to finance environmental cleanup or redevelopment of an industrial site as part of an effort to revitalize the low and moderate income community in which the property is located. Those are just a few of the community development examples. We have Q&A-12S and 563E.12R-4, which provides examples of community development services. Examples of community development services include, but are not limited to, the following: providing financial services to low and moderate income individuals through branches and other facilities located in low and moderate income areas, providing technical assistance on financial matters to nonprofit, tribal, or government organizations serving low and moderate income housing or economic revitalization and development needs, providing credit counseling, home buyer and home maintenance counseling, financial planning, or other financial services education to promote community development and affordable housing, and providing international remittance services that increase access to financial services by low and moderate income persons. Q&A-12S-563.12R-4 provides examples of qualified investments. Examples of qualified investments include, but are not limited to, investments, grants, deposits, or shares in or to financial intermediaries such as community development financial institutions, new markets tax credit eligible community development organizations or entities, community development corporations, minority and women-owned financial institutions, community loan funds, and low-income or community development credit unions. Also, organizations engaged in affordable housing, rehabilitation, and construction, including multifamily rental housing, and facilities that promote community development by providing community services for low and moderate income individuals, such as youth programs, homeless centers, soup kitchens, health care facilities, battered women's centers, and alcohol and drug recovery centers. Are there any other questions?
Thank you. We do have a question from the audio portion from Calvin James. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. And the question was pertaining to the strategic plan option. I did not hear, maybe I joined the call late, any conversation about that. Was that intentional, or was it just because it's not relevant to the changes?
We have not made any changes to the strategic plan option. It remains as it's always been in the regulation. The only what would apply to the strategic plan option as far as what was discussed today is the change to the community development definition. So those additional areas that we included when we revised the community development definition applies to all CRA exam types.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And once again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone.
We have another question. How will the OTS treat new de novo institutions that reach $1 billion this year and have never been examined? Will they fall under the small or intermediate test? We will evaluate the institution based on the assets for the past two calendar years. So if the institution has not reached $1 billion in assets and it's less, it hasn't reached the $1.33 billion for two calendar years, then it will not be examined as a large institution. And based on what the asset size was for the past two calendar years, we'll determine whether it will be evaluated as a small or intermediate small test. As we said, for an institution to be evaluated as an intermediate small savings association, the assets has to have been $258 million for the past two calendar years. And if it was less than that, and maybe 1 year was $250 million and the next year was $259 million, then it would fall under the small institution test because it has not met the 258 threshold for two calendar years. We also received a question from an institution, and they, and this is, I will read what they provided. Over the past two or three years, our association has partnered with several communities we serve in developing revitalization programs, which provide for low-interest home improvement loans to borrowers living in older areas of town. Qualified areas are defined by each city government. The primary purpose of these loans is to encourage homeowners to make their neighborhood more desirable for families and convert rental properties back into single-family homes. We have originated over $6 million in loans at a 10-year fixed rate of 3%, well below market. At our most recent CRA examination, we were informed that the bank will receive no CRA community development credit for these programs because the home improvement loans were underreportable and we already would have received CRA credit for lending activity if the loans were made to low and moderate income borrowers. While our purpose for working with the various cities to develop these loans is not to receive CRA credit, it does seem unreasonable that a program saving homeowners thousands of dollars over the long term and making affordable loans located in older areas of town more desirable isn't considered as community development activity. And the examiner is correct, but I will read to you the Q&A that covers this question. And it is Q&A section 42B2-2. If a loan meets the definition of a home mortgage, small business, or small farm loan and qualifies as a community development loan, where should it be reported? And we say except for multifamily affordable housing loans, which may be reported by a retail institution both under HMDA as home mortgage loan and as community development loan. In order to avoid double counting, retail institutions must report home mortgage loans and small business loans only in those respective categories, even if they also meet the definition of community development loans. As a practical matter, this is not a disadvantage for retail institutions evaluated under the lending investment and service test because any affordable housing mortgage, small business, small farm, or consumer loan that would otherwise meet the definition of community development will be considered elsewhere in the lending test. And because these loans, because the institution will receive credit for these loans as a percentage of lending to LMI individuals, and if the loans are located in LMI geographies, they're receiving credit for the loans. In addition, the institution will probably receive credit for these loans as flexible lending products, which is also a criteria under the lending test. And so, as the Q&A says, in order to avoid double counting in giving credit for the same loans in two different categories, the Q&A provides Q&A-42B2-2 provides guidance with regards to this situation.
Let's see. This is Bill Williams with OTS Midwest Region. One of the questions that we were emailed was, do consumer loans issued specifically for green activities such as solar or Energy Star appliance installation qualify for CRA lending test loans? And really, CRA is geared towards low and moderate income individuals and loans, and we really hadn't addressed green in there to the best of my knowledge. Les, have you gotten that question before?
No, it's a new question. I guess we could take it and consider it
in future Q&A.
Or even figure out how we would provide consideration for this activity, particularly because it's consumer loans. And because consumer loans may not necessarily be considered in the institution's evaluation unless the institution opts for us to consider consumer loans, or if consumer loans are a substantial portion of the institution's lending, that's the only way we automatically consider consumer loans. And if the institution opts for us to consider consumer loans, there is regulatory guidance that asks that the institution collects adequate data to allow us to consider the consumer loans. So I think part of it may be the data collection if the institution opts to have us consider consumer loans, and we'll probably take it from there.
But as far as being a green loan, there's no specific right. credit for that. It's really boiled down to low and moderate income
right.
borrowers
exactly.
and investments. Do we have anybody on the phone for a question?
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from Patricia Mosley. Please go ahead.
My question is, you don't have a choice to decide if you want to be examined under a small institution or a large institution.
Yes, you do. The regulation has always allowed institutions the option to be evaluated under the large retail institution test. And I think I mentioned somewhere in the presentation that as long as the institution maintains the data needed for the examiner to be able to evaluate them as a large retail institution, then the institution can opt to be evaluated as a large institution.
Okay. Do I have any more questions? That's all.
I have another question here. And the question is, how does this affect an institution with $133 million in assets? And I'm not sure which issue the question is pertaining to, but as far as the community development definition, that's applicable to all institutions regardless of size, what activities count in as community development. As far as the intermediate small bank or large bank test, as we said before, the institution's asset size should, for an intermediate small institution is $258 million for the prior two calendar years. So being that this institution is $133 million, they will still be evaluated as a small institution. And you really won't be affected until your asset threshold changes as far as the indexing part of the regulation as far as the Intermediate Small Savings Association. However, the changes to the regulation with regards to discriminatory credit practice applies to all institutions of all sizes.
Um, If there are no other questions on the line, we'll go ahead and read one off that we've gotten emailed to us. Being an institution of $255 million in assets, and with the new changes effective July 1st, we will now have to report small business loans and small farm loans.
The reporting requirements for CRA applies to large institutions, and the asset threshold for large institutions as of July 1st, 2007 is $1.33 billion. The current asset threshold for large institutions is $1 billion. So you will not be required to collect CRA data nor report CRA data until you meet the large institution size threshold. Are there any other questions on the line?
Yes. Our next question comes from Ginger Watts. Please go ahead.
Yes. I was wondering if there's any CRA credit available if we service MSB accounts, money service businesses, who provide services to the unbanked community.
If you provide, could you provide a little more detail?
Sure. We have checking accounts for MSBs, money service businesses, who do things like cash checks and MoneyGram, money to family members and things like that. Are we available for any CRA credit for that?
So the question is, can an institution receive community development service credit for third-party activities due to their relationship with the third party?
Yes.
We're looking for the bank to provide the technical assistance for the service. Generally, an institution can receive credit if they're investing in an organization that meets the CRA definition for qualified investments, but I don't think a mortgage MSB would qualify for if you invested in that organization, that wouldn't meet the qualifications for a qualified investment. So under this scenario, I don't think so.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Edna Lee. Please go ahead.
Yes, I want some clarification as far as the examination is concerned by the OTS. Under the new effective date of July 1st, what happens if we're a bank with asset size between 250 and a billion in the last two calendar years, but the examination will be done a week after the effective date of July 1st of the new rule changes? Would the examination be based on the small institution or intermediate small institution?
I think what we said is that we will begin evaluating institutions that fall under the intermediate small savings association category immediately. However, in performance context, we will take into account that the institution has operated under a previous regulation, and so we can't ding you for activities that you do not have because you were not subjected to that regulation. So what we've said is that we will begin evaluating institutions under the Intermediate Small Savings Association as of July 1st, 2007. But we do not expect you to have your operation in place to be able to accommodate the community development test because the majority of your evaluation period was under the Small Savings Association test.
Right. So what would be the appropriate response in addressing that area on the part of the examination package when they ask for the community development loan?
I think you should just say we have been operating under the Small Institution Savings Association test for the majority of this evaluation period, and then the examiners will take it from there.
And we should note we've provided training to our examiners too, so they're fully aware of this.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Pat Carrizo. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. My question is the weight factor for large institutions with the new revision date, is it going to still be the same with the 50, 25, 25, or is there going to be changes in that?
No, that was the original weight factor in 1995, and we're going back to the original way that the institution was evaluated for lending investment and services.
So if you're a large institution, what's the original way? That
50, 50, 25, 25.
50, 25, 25, okay. And my last question is the asset threshold to be evaluated as a large institution for two consecutive years, what would that number have to be? It has to be on the last two consecutive years?
Yes, and as of July 1st, it's $1.33 billion.
For two consecutive years, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and again, to ask a question on the audio portion, please press star 1 and record your name clearly.
We have a written one here that was emailed to us. It says, institutions already scheduled for examination beginning 7-1, but instructed the exam would cover the period up to 3/31/07, and given a small bank PERC to complete, does this mean we will be examined under the Intermediate Small Savings Association since the asset formula, that is where we would fall? Previously answered that one. That is, we're in a transition period, and examiners we've had training for our examiners in the previous month to kind of clue them in and educate them on how we want this performed. But we're going to handle it within the performance context and explain it to them and to work with you in this transition period.
Right. So what the exam will pretty much look like is a small institution exam, and if the institution has community development loans, investments, and services that they have, then I would encourage you to provide that information to the examiner. But if the institution's operation was strictly geared towards the Small Savings Association test, which is primarily the lending test, then this will be handled and explained in the exam report under the performance context by the examiner.
And we do have a few more audio questions. Our next question comes from Michael Buckeye. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have a need for two points to be clarified. The first one, I believe it's on your slide, page 8. It's under annual indexing. First one, a small savings association. Is it accurate when it states that it had assets of less than $1.033 billion instead of less than $258 million?
Well, a small savings association, right, is technically an institution with less than $1.33 billion in assets. But an intermediate small savings association is an institution with assets of $258 million to $1.33 billion, or less than $1.33 billion. So, yes, you're a small institution, and if your assets is less than 200, you will be evaluated under the small institution test if your assets are less than 258 million for two consecutive.
So you're saying the slide is correct with the first statement under a small.
Because technically a small institution is defined as one under 1.33 billion, but the test applies. The Intermediate Small Savings Association test applies if your institution has assets of $258 million less than $1.33 billion for two consecutive calendar years.
Thank you. Another point of clarification pertains to parity. The parity as far as banks and thrifts with credit union and mortgage brokers. Could you address that?
Are you referring to parity in the sense that credit unions don't currently have a CRA requirement?
CRA requirements, exactly.
Well, you know, that's been an issue that's been hotly debated for a number of years. I suspect that debate will continue. There have been legislative proposals to extend the Community Reinvestment Act to credit unions. To date, that has not passed through the Congress. So that is an issue that only the Congress can take up and resolve one way or the other.
So at this point, do you have any particular understanding of any legislation that's currently pending?
You know, we don't have our legislative people here for this call. I am aware that there is certainly interest in doing so, and I hesitate to say because I don't have any specifics in front of me, but I'm told that there was a proposal that was offered earlier this year. I just don't have the specifics, and I don't want to lead you down the wrong direction. I think a great source for that kind of information is if you're active with any of the bank trade groups. I know the American Bankers Association and other associations certainly follow this. If you have a relationship with ABA or ACB, ICBA, or the like, you might check with them, check on their websites, and check with the people that you normally contact for specifics.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Edie Reynoso. Please go ahead.
I just wanted a little bit of clarification on your slides 4 and 5, how a large bank test would relate to these slides rather than just a 50-25-25.
Okay.
And you're saying, are you referring to the elimination of alternative waste, the slide that talks about that?
Well, first they said elimination of alternative weights, and then they said it's going back to 50-25-25, which I understand. But on the slide 4, it's showing community development loans under the CD test, and the lending test is separated. So I'm just trying to understand how, as a large institution, what goes into which category.
Now, the slide that shows the CD test separate from the lending test is the Intermediate Small Savings Association test.
I understand that.
Pardon?
I understand that. I'm asking how is the large institution, that they're not listed on here at all.
The large institution is affected by the elimination of the alternative weights, being that the large institution can no longer allocate 80% to lending and 20% to investments or any allocation of that type. So as far as how we've always evaluated under the large retail test, we've always evaluated community development loans as part of the lending test. That has not changed for large institutions. The separate test only applies to the Intermediate Small Savings Association.
Okay.
And then that's because that the small institution test does not evaluate lending primarily based on distribution, whereas the Intermediate Small Savings Association test takes that same evaluation principle and then also has a community development test that includes community development loans. And so the flexible allocations right now say you can allocate 50% or more to lending, and then you can determine the remaining 50% between investment and services. That's what's now shifted to 50-25-25. 50% lending, 25% investment, 25% service. And primarily that applies to the way that we grade the way we rate the different areas. When you look in the Q&A, it talks about ratings for the large retail test. More points are allocated to the lending test at I think 20 to 24 points or something like that. The points are allocated amongst lending, investment, and services, and I think you can get up to 12 under the lending test.
And so when we say 50%, we're talking about how the rate, how we rate the lending test, the investment test, and the service test, how we allocate the points based on the institution's performance. Was your question also to what are all the changes that affect a large savings association? You're trying to get a sense of all the changes in our new rules that affect large savings associations?
Right.
Okay, so there's the allocation that we talked about. Also, the change in affiliate lending in terms of illegal or discriminatory practices that would affect large savings associations. And the change to the community development definition. And I just recap it again. The changes to the community development definition applies to all institutions regardless of size. The change to the indexing pretty much applies to institutions that are small and intermediate. The changes to the discriminatory credit practices applies to all institutions. And then the weight allocation only applies to large institutions, and the intermediate small savings association applies to the intermediate small savings institutions that fall within the asset threshold for intermediate small savings associations. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Stefan Bell. Please go ahead. Stefan Bell, your line is open. Please go ahead with your question. Please check your mute feature or lift up your handset. We have no further questions at this time.
Okay. We're checking to see if we've addressed all the ones we've gotten via email.
One of them is we often apply for subsidies from the Federal Home Loan Bank's Affordable Housing Program and other programs where the subsidies are given to nonprofit developers for low-income housing and economic development activities. These subsidies are often not loans, but we spend a lot of time applying for and monitoring after being awarded. Often we need to underwrite the project even if we don't offer a loan to meet the Federal Home Loan Bank guidelines. Will this activity qualify for CD services, community development services, CRA lending, or both? How would this activity be counted on our CRA exam if they are awarded by the Federal Home Loan Bank?
And if the institution applies for the subsidy, right now that and work with the nonprofit for the low-income housing and economic development activities, the Q&A, our Q&A that talks about examples of community development services, one of those examples is providing technical assistance on financial matters to small business or community development organizations, including organizations and individuals who apply for loans or grants under the Federal Home Loan Bank's Affordable Housing Program. So unless right now, it doesn't sound like you're directly involved in the lending part, but that you are providing the technical assistance for the application for the subsidy. And so it would be the community development service credit. That's where you would get credit. And that is -.12J563E12I-3. And it's what are examples of community development services, and it's section .12J563E.12I-3. Do we have any other questions?
We have one last question from Paul Nabone. Please go ahead.
Hi. Our institution is scheduled for an examination as of June 30th, this exam would commence in August. And we recently merged, and our assets as of 12/31/05 were $262 million. Would we be examined under the small, previous definition of small bank since we're not into the third quarter?
Your 05 assets were $262 million?
Yes.
And when does your exam start? Has it started?
No, it starts in August. It's as of June 30th.
Okay, if it starts in August, and what's your assets 06?
Say $280 million.
Yeah, you should be examined under the Intermediate Small Savings Association.
Okay, but not small under the old former definition then.
No, but it pretty much. We only can we can't. As I said before, we will not. We can't ding you for us changing our rule. So pretty much, we'll evaluate you and explain that although you're being evaluated as an Intermediate Small Savings Association, the majority of your evaluation period, you were operating under the Small Institution Examination Regulation and. This is your performance.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Okay. And that's one of the points that the director made in his opening remarks, which is we're going to have an orderly and fair transition to the new rule. And we've gotten a lot of questions on how will we be evaluated. They're all good questions, and I hope that the answers that you've gotten received have given you some comfort on that. Okay. Any last questions?
Thank you. We have a question from Pat DeRizzo. Please go ahead.
Yes. My question was involving the community development tax for a lending pool. When there's more than one entity participating in the lending pool of community development loans, do you count the entire amount of the value of the loan pool, or do you count only your contribution towards the loan pool?
Our expert is consulting the regulation. So you've got a good question there. Bear with us a moment. I want to say you. Count the loan amount of the loan pool, and then we look at your pro rata share of the percentage that your institution's participation amount. So, and you're talking. Are you referring to when you report it under the CRA reporting?
Yes, we are to the reporting.
Yeah.
What do we report? We report the total value of the actual pool or our contribution amount?
Yeah, I'm just checking. That answer is in the Q&A, and I'm trying to find it really quick. You know what? We will email you that answer, and as we say, our plan is to make all the Q&A that we've received to make these answers available. So. Can you just repeat, I'm sorry, could you repeat your name?
Axel Rizzo, A-X-E-L.
Okay.
And that's R-I-Z-O.
Okay. And I'll tell you what, can you email that question to OTS, the email address that we gave at the beginning of the call?
Sure. What is that again?
OTSRIZZO@OTS.TREAS.GOV.
Did you hear that?
No,
I didn't.
OTS Thrift, THRIFT dot questions, with, and that's Pearl with an S, at OTS period TREAS period GOV.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our final question comes from Patricia Mosley. Please go ahead.
Under the ISSA test, where it says lawyers' income, small business, and small farms of different sizes, I know that's under the CRA, and it's normally if you're over $1 billion. Is that going to change? Under the lending test.
So we're more clear? Patricia, could you repeat that question?
Yes, under the lending test, under the ISSA, you have borrower's income, small business, and small farm of different sizes.
And that's the that hasn't changed. That's 500,000 for small farms and 1 million for small business.
But you don't have to report that unless you're over a billion, correct?
Right. Only institutions that are required to report are institutions that hit the large retail, the asset threshold.
Okay. Well, would you get credit if you kept up with this and with not reporting it?
Definitely. If you, and, I mean, under the small institution test, a small institution can provide the examiner with whatever loan data they want to get credit as far as community development, small business, small farm.
Okay.
But we actually, we look at small business, small farm, and we look at retail lending, but if they want community development loans or any type of investments in services, that's what we consider as the institution's option. But the institution is not required to report small business and small farm lending because they're small.
Right. Even though it's in this test, you don't have to. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have no further audio questions at this time.
Okay, well, we'll go ahead and wrap up. I want to, again, this is Montrese Scatter-Yakimov. I want to thank you all for investing your time to hear about the changes to our CRA rules. Certainly want to thank Celeste Anderson and Bill Williams for, I think, the fine job that they did. I hope it was valuable. We will, as we've said, make available the question and answers, our answers to them, and we'll post that on our website. And again, thank you so much for all that you do. Take care.
Thank you. This does conclude today's conference call. We thank you all for joining, and you may now disconnect.